Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you, and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, and study His precious Word together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out and get your Bible and follow along with us as we open the Word of God together today. We're continuing our study that I began on last week on the subject, This Is What Christmas Means to Me. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to magnify the reason for the season, the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could exalt Him more and lift His name higher and magnify Him in a greater manner than my feeble mind and efforts are able to do. But I sure do want to lift Him up and exalt Him during this time of the Christmas season. I said on a broadcast earlier that if you take Christ out of Christmas, you have the word mass, or really a mess is all that's left. I know our society has so apostatized and we have so commercialized this season that Christ is not in the Christmas of most people. But yet, I want to take the time to magnify Him as best I can. Again, let me emphasize, I do not know the month that the Lord was born in, or the day in that month that He was born. But it's not important when He was born, but the important thing is He was born. Eternal God wrapped Himself up in a seed, planted in the womb of a virgin, and came into this world that He might die to save sinners from their sin. I pointed out to you several things last week about the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember the angel said to Joseph, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." The songwriter said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Yes, there's something about that name. There's no other name like the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. One songwriter said the name Jesus is the sweetest note in seraph's song, the sweetest word on mortal tongue, the sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. And again, I mention to you that in that name, there is a peace, a calmness, a healing for the hurt. Another songwriter said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go." And as I introduce us to a few simple thoughts about this marvelous person, the Lord Jesus Christ, I gave you these truths from the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the heavenly son of an earthly mother, but He also is the earthly son of a heavenly father. He is the only person who was alive before He was born, and He lived after He died. He's still alive. Then I said to you, He had a birth, but He had no beginning. He had a death, but He had no ending. When hanging on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ cried, "It is finished." When He said it's finished, He wasn't done, and He did not say, "I am finished." The Son of God became the Son of Man, that we, the fallen sons of men, might become the sons of God. He was rejected and despised in order that you and I might be accepted in Him by God Almighty. He wore our crown of the curse, the crown of the thorns, that we might wear the crown of righteousness and the crown of glory. And on I could go. He never met His match. He never met a situation or a circumstance that he could not handle and overcome. He was so unique that if you put him in the fire, he'd just walk around in it. It had no effect on him. You put him in a storm, and he said to the winds and waves, "Peace, be still," and they lay down at his feet. Put him out on the water, he walked on it. Put him in a grave, he only used it for 3 days and three nights. It could not hold him. And up from the grave, he arose. He was unique in his virgin birth. He was unique in his virtuous life. He was unique in his vicarious suffering and death. He was unique in his victorious resurrection. And he will be unique in his visible return. And on and on I could go, just trying in my feeble way to magnify the reason for the season and what Christmas means to me. But then I began on the last couple of broadcasts doing an acrostic on the word Christmas. And we looked at the letter C, and we saw as we think of Christ and as we think of Christmas, we saw his coming down from heaven, from the bosom of the Father to the womb of Mary. The Lord Jesus Christ takes that great step of condescension. In Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 6, he is presented to us in the form of a sovereign. The Bible said, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and then he took upon himself the form of a servant." You talk about condescending. He steps down from the form of a sovereign to the form of a servant. The Bible said, and was made in the likeness of men. But then in that same chapter, Philippians 2, verse number 8, he steps down again. He steps first of all from the form of a sovereign to the form of a servant. And then from a form of a servant to the form of a sacrifice. The Bible said, in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So when I think of Christmas, and I see that letter C, I am reminded of the condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming down from heaven. But may I say, friend, if you have much understanding of the Word of God, your Christmas message and thoughts do not end with a condescension, and they do not end with a babe in Bethlehem's manger. No, my friend. So we move to the second letter. We look at the letter H. And when we look at the letter H and we think of Christmas and we think of Christ, then we not only see him coming down from heaven, but we see him hanging on the cross. Yes, dear friend, I know that's supposed to be Easter, but may I say to you, that's the story of Christmas. That's why he came. He did not come to live. He came to die. He did not come to reign as King Supreme. He'll do that when he returns. But he came to present himself as God's way for mankind to be reconciled back to God. And so he came to hang on the cross. Oh, I wish I could emphasize this where you would never forget what I'm saying. Calvary and the crucifixion of Christ was no accident. It was not an afterthought with God. In the heart of God, even before the foundation of the world, Christ stood as a lamb slain. When he left the throne of glory, his heart was set on a tree at Golgotha. He came to die. So as we remember the Christmas season, we not only need to remember his birth, his condescension, but we need to remember his death, why he came. He came to die. When I see him hanging on the cross, there are three things that goes through my mind during this Christmas season. Number one, I see him hanging there as God's sacrifice. The Bible said in John chapter 1, verse number 29, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And I remind you, there could be no salvation in a living lamb. The lamb must die. The blood must be shed in order for there to be redemption for fallen man. So he is presented as God's sacrifice hanging there on the cross. But not only do I see him as God's sacrifice, but I see him as our substitute, the substitute for the sinner. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquities of us all. So I see him hanging on the cross as God's sacrifice, the Lamb of God dying to take away the sin of the world. And friend, my sins are gone in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not just covered, they're completely gone. But I see him hanging there as God's sacrifice. I see him hanging there as our substitute. And then I see him hanging there as the Savior of the world. The angel said to the shepherd that night in the hills of Judea, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10, "And he is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe." Could I just take a moment before I leave the broadcast today and talk to you personally? He is the Savior of all men. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, "that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." But my friend, he only becomes your Savior when you make him your own personal choice. When you realize you're a sinner, you're going to hell. You cannot save yourself, but you turn from your sin to the Savior and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you by God's amazing grace. Yes, it's one thing for him to be the Savior of the world. It's one thing for him to be the Savior of all men. But friend, we talk about doubting Thomas. But when Jesus appeared there in that upper room the second time, Thomas looked at him and said, "My Lord and my God." Is he your Savior today? If he's not, he wants to be. Repent of your sins. Receive him, and he'll save you today. Father, take the word. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. I do want to take this opportunity and wish all of you who listen to the radio a very Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year to the glory of our God. Let me also wish a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to the staff and management of all of the radio stations that carry the broadcast. We're all laborers together with God, and I trust that God will use our labor to his glory. As you go through the holiday season, don't forget the reason for the season. Keep Christ in the center of all your Christmas activities. As you do your giving, I trust you'll remember the Harvest Time broadcast. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at the same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.